Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Insulate your home and save on energy costs. Owens Corning Pink Foamular Insulation Panels are moisture resistant and can be used anywhere, including walls, attics, and basements. Foamular Insulation Panels are available in multiple sizes to fit your project. Visit Menards.com to shop all foam board insulation. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for great deals happening this week. Save big money at
Menards. When you think work, you think boots. You think boots, you think Ariat. You think grit, concrete, rain, and heat. And boots that never back down from any of it. You think comfort and durability that hold up on the job, off the clock, and every step in between. Because the day doesn't end when the job does. And from overtime to off-duty, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, and always back you up. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find yours at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
All right, we'd like to welcome everyone into the first episode of the All Grit Podcast. I'm your host, Caleb Annual. Here we go, boys. It's that time. It's week one. We're going to break it all down. And I brought with me two of, I would say, probably the best lion knowers outside of myself that I could find in the Grand Rapids, greater Grand Rapids area. With us, just down the street, my good friend Adrian Labra. Welcome to the show, Adrian.
Thanks, man. Thanks for putting it together.
Absolutely.
Man, what a thrill yesterday, man.
What are your thoughts?
It was quite the roller coaster. I think any just casual viewer that doesn't even like the Lions would probably have rooted for them last night.
Yeah.
It was a classic. Like, it's a classic. And after that playoff game and then just this game again, it just feels like there's a real rivalry between the Rams and Lions now.
Yeah, I feel like that's developing. Of course, with the Matthew Stafford and Jared Goff and all that fun stuff. But we will get back into the crowd noise and everything a little bit later. But we're going to bring in the last person on this podcast, the one and only from, where are you from, Clay? Midland?
I'm East Coast now.
Can we get that air horn? Can one of you guys get that air horn for the pod? We need that. All right, Clay, what are your thoughts on yesterday's game?
I was really impressed with just the defensive stops in the first half. Like, I think they just made the game. Just forcing them to go for it on fourth down. Detroit's been in that position several times, as we all know. Turnover on downs, holding to field goals, and of course that huge interception in the half. So that just really, what a play to head into halftime. But I'll get to halftime a little bit later. I got a little something to add to that.
That's right. We got to slow it down a little bit. We got to get into the, what do you guys think? I think it was a slow start. I mean, both teams, it seemed like it was just kind of going back and forth. That's what I wrote in my notes. It was just super slow on both sides.
But, I mean, it's normal. It was week one, and a lot of these starters, these guys, they haven't played since January.
Yeah.
Some new free agents from December spent almost a whole, more than half a year. What I really saw was the offensive line, those big guys in the front.
Yep.
There was miscommunication. The chemistry was a little off. Some post-game interviews with some of those guys, they recognize it, like Neidler and Graham Glasgow, the guards. Sometimes they weren't getting their blocks on time. On the pass protection, they were a little off. That came with the sacks. If you saw the replay, that's where those sacks came from.
Yeah.
Like those sacks on Goff, it was just miscommunication. Like who had who. So I think these guys could just clean that up. Like that's just a major thing. I think it's kind of good news. Like, this is the baseline. This is the worst that O-line will play. As long as everyone's healthy, this is the worst we'll see them. And they were awesome at the end of the day. Like, there was miscommunication was bad in the beginning, but then by the end of overtime, time they were.
Yeah, they warmed up.
People movers, man.
So on the opposite end of the ball, you got the Rams O-line. So I came into this game saying, all right, well, Hutch is going to have three sacks by himself. Davenport might get one or, but really, and we're going to break this down a little bit later, but for them being out three offensive tackles, I mean, they were bringing in the water boy there after a while. What do you guys think about how that defensive line played against such a horrible offensive line of the Colts? I mean, of the Rams.
Well, Clay, what did you see there? You were there at the game.
Oh, there's the drop. Yes, one of our own was there. What'd you see, Clay?
Half of this close half, so you could count to Stafford. Yep. But again, it was week one rustiness, you know, but I think Hutch got off good, got to the quarterback, just got a couple of missed tackles. But they'll clean that stuff up, But they got the big jump off the line, though. I agree.
Yeah,
I would say that the Rams, they weren't, you know, dumb. They obviously knew they had a bunch of backups on the whole line. They purposely told Matt Stafford, like, to just get rid of the ball as quick as you can.
Yeah.
And you saw that. Like, he was just dinking and dunking as soon as he hiked it to the outsides.
Yep.
And to get 2-3 yards. And that was, like, the run game because their whole line couldn't push. So, that's, like, what they ended up doing. And it looks, from, you know, if you replay it, it looks like we weren't doing much. But Hutch was there in, like, 2.7 seconds.
Absolutely. He was there.
Yeah.
He probably had 8 pressures or 10 pressures, whatever it was, you know, only a couple hits. But yeah. So question, if you're the defensive coordinator at that point, why would you not put, I don't know, almost like gunners at that point? If you know your defensive line is getting that much pressure and where Stafford's got to get it off in 2.5 seconds, you would think that they would just make an adjustment to where they could just literally be picking the ball off within that first 5 to 10 yards. But Cooper Kupp, you know, you got to give him credit. He got off that line and he did everything for them. But I was a little bit disappointed. And because of the Rams offensive line being so depleted, I think it just should have been just sack central, and it wasn't. So, but you're right. I mean, they're prepared for that.
Yeah, they were getting the ball off pretty quick. And honestly, dude, like Stafford, he had one of the best games I've seen him play.
Oh, he lit it up.
Since he left Detroit. Dude, some of his throws are insane. Like
when he got hit by 3 players. Up, yeah.
Like, Hutch grabbing his jersey already. Like, it was crazy.
And don't look down, so I was like, oh my goodness.
You're going to get Clay crying again, man. Don't do that. All right, so boys, I wrote also, so you got the Gibbs Tutty. What do you guys think about that? I mean, ball crossed the plane there at the end. It was a good call, but nothing exciting, just business. So I didn't hear anybody talk about this, but this literally blew my mind. I didn't even tell you guys about this before because I wanted to get your thoughts straight, fresh. Coaching decision. I think he did a good job throughout the whole game. One coaching decision blew my mind. Put yourself back at the end of the first half. They get the ball back at the end of the first half, and I think they had maybe 11 seconds left or whatever it was. And I'm thinking, okay, we just stopped them. Go out and take a knee, go into halftime up 10 or 14, whatever it was at the point. And they trot out Jared Goff out there, and we're on the 15-yard, 20-yard line, whatever it was, and they are trying to throw a Hail Mary. And what happens? He gets sacked.
I replayed that because I was upset with the sack. I'm like, where did this come from? So I replayed that play after they went to halftime like 3-4 times. And Jared Verse just beats Taylor Decker just on the outside. Like, okay. Taylor was sleeping. Like, I feel like maybe he didn't expect that.
Right. Right.
To run that play, like, there was something like, it was like he didn't know that they were going to do that. I don't know what happened with that last play. That was...
But can, Can you imagine a strip sack, or at least, I mean, they hit him. The ball could have popped out easily. And then they're sitting right there to put three on the board. I just think that was a horrible coaching decision. You're putting, I mean, you're not on the 50, you're not on the 40, you're on the 15 or 20. And it just needed, it needed a lot of help.
I think that was the only mistake. I think the rest of the game was pretty clean, but that one maybe was a scratcher.
Yeah. All right, so we move on to the second half. I'm going to let you take it from here, Adrian. I'm just going to say Waymo.
Hold on.
Okay.
We need Clayton's bird's eye view. Where were you sitting, by the way, in the stadium?
We were on lower bowl, about 43 yard lines. We had really good. Oh, yeah, we were in that boy.
Dang, mate.
So it was nice, man. It was nice. It was a pretty spot. The loudest of Ford Field. They showed out, man. Ford Field showed out, for sure.
So, question for you, Clay. Clay went to the first Lions playoff home division champ game in, what, 20-something years last year, whatever it was. What was the atmosphere like from the playoff game to yesterday opening against that same team that they opened up with in the playoffs?
But yeah, so you can't mark that. You can't equal what that was like last year. But man, they showed out. It was definitely, everyone was loud. It was definitely, especially that first drive, that quick first three and out in the first half for the Rams.
Yeah.
That was all Ford Field right there, man. That was entirely Ford Field.
No, so, that was all the God of Thunder.
Anzalone, man.
Good to see that. Good to see that.
I think last night there was like three false starts.
False starts and then forcing Stafford to use those timeouts as well.
That's right. He did use one in the first one. That's right. So, yeah, y'all were killing it with the noise. So, how was the crowd reaction with that Kirby interception at the end of the first half?
Well, that was. So, before we get to halftime, so this is right at halftime. So, this is my. What a play to take us into halftime, but here's my negative thought about Ford Field was horrible halftime show. So, you have this hype play that takes you to halftime, and then they have the drum team come out to do a halftime show.
Drum line, baby.
Totally.
Just kills the vibe.
Kills the vibe. Everybody's sitting there, everybody yawning. It's.
The drum line. It's Sunday Night Football. That leads us into the second half, and sadly, yeah, we had to deal with, was that third quarter or fourth quarter, that drought? I really don't, it just seemed like it lagged the whole thing.
When was that Jameson Williams touchdown? Was it that early third quarter or mid third quarter?
Yeah, it must have been the start of the second half, because that's in my notes. I got Waymo. Yeah. So what did you think? You wrote a couple things down, Adrian, about going forward after seeing them kind of spread the ball to J-Mo. What do you think is going to happen now, future coming?
Well, that touchdown, man, that is exactly what I dreamed of. Like, if you keep up with the Lions and you know how last year ended, we're down receivers, we lost Josh Reynolds, we really needed Jameson to step up. The biggest reason is to spread the defense on the opposing side. And that was just like the perfect start to have J-Mo have just a bomb thrown to him. Him just like embarrassing the quarterback and getting like, what was it, like a 60-yard touchdown, like where he was just easily running. I'm sure he was going super fast, but what that does now is that puts it on film.
Yep.
Now that it's Team Tampa Bay, they're reviewing, they're like, okay, what are the Lions running?
opportunities to for Jared Goff to find his guys in the middle. So that was ideal, and hopefully Jalen has another
big game next Sunday too.
And I'm going to give a big shout-out real quick to Teddy Bridgewater. So I think that fairly that Teddy Bridgewater did a lot of work with J-Mo in his time in Detroit. And I know J-Mo is giving some shout-outs to Teddy as well. And I just he's come so far since pulling the suspension and then those early drops last year has just really I think they were calling him going for a while, actually. So but what a catch. So I'm going to go right to the –
Yeah, that flag really messed up the camera and his celebration, if you saw that, because, you know, the camera spanned to everybody else but J-Mo, and he's over there riding the horse and, you know, getting up and down on it. So we need to see more of that. Yeah, I'm glad he caught it. He was wide open, and I've heard he's had the case of the drops during camp. So if he can keep doing that during mid-game, that's all that matters. Now, on a little bit, dare I say, downside, so that was the good uptake, right? So what do you guys think about Brian Branch? I feel like he was rusty. He missed tackles. He over-pursued. I think he dropped a pick. It was a bad day.
When he didn't have to jump, he tried to get too fancy with it. He could have just had that, and he jumped up. I'm like, dude, just not to make it pretty, man. Just snag it. I think he was rusty. A couple missed tackles. A huge missed tackle. And I forgot who it was. But
oh, Johnson, yeah.
Rams got that
60-yarder or whatever it was.
Pickup. And it could have been a loss. It could have been a tackle for a loss, and they end up gaining, 45 yards on it.
Yep. Yeah. Big time.
Yeah, that was a bummer. But I think with Brian Branch, you know, he had his injury in the offseason, and he didn't have a full training camp. So he's got some rust to shake off. And he's usually, like, our best open field tackler. Like,
for sure, yeah.
Usually he's, like, Ansel when he was yesterday, just, like, killing people one-on-one. So he's just got to get back in shape.
Yep. So I also have in my notes here, guys, we've been dealing with kicking issues ever since, let's see, we can go back to Matt Prater, we can go back to Jason Hansen, we can go back to Eddie Murray. I mean, we've had a great lifetime of kickers, but for the last couple of years, it's been sad since Prater left. So what do you guys think? Money Bates, thoughts?
Well, my first thought was just, dude, I was that nervous every time he would kick, especially on that last kick to tie the game.
Yeah.
It was crucial, dude.
Yeah.
Because they, like, cut to him before the kick when he was on the sideline, and he looked kind of scared.
Like, I don't know if that's just...
that's just his facial expression, and that's just, like, how he is or whatever, but he looked scared, and I was like, oh, Lord. Like, he missed the similar, like, yardage in the preseason.
Right.
You know?
His extra point preseason.
Yeah, exactly. All that. So I was just like, oh, dude, I didn't feel good about it. But
no. It was right down the middle. He
came
good.
Yep.
He's a guy that can, like, he's got a leg. He can kick 50, 58, kick all these. But those short ones, you're going to need the short ones too, boy.
Right.
So, if you, like, we mentioned, he missed the short one in preseason. So, it wasn't a gimme. But he did it, man. He, shout out to him, man. And, you know, he had the first one under your belt. I don't think they're bringing any kickers this week, so.
That a boy.
I think he misses it, though. They bring some kickers in this week. So.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Can you guys imagine if Bates misses that kick with 17 seconds on the clock or whatever it was to end regulation? He misses that kick. LA wins by taking a knee. What are we talking about today?
Well, I think some of the SOL people come back out.
Yeah.
Talking loud. Yeah.
Even though, you know, I think SOL died
last
several
year.
Years ago in Green Bay. But, yeah, I think some SOL people would come out being loud. And it would have been a tough week.
Yeah. For sure. for our kicking future. But also, it's been rewarding to our defense because they didn't let Stafford nail the game out.
Mm-hmm.
I know Stafford wanted to take a nail, that he wanted that big three formation. I mean, the defense came out, and what a wonderful way to reward them. I mean, well, you wanted seven. I wanted seven. But
yeah. Right. And we're going to have some sad podcasts this upcoming season. I'm sure of it. It's the NFL. But it is nice to talk about a win. It's nice to talk about a win when the Lions didn't look like the better team for over 50% of that game. The drives that Stafford and the Rams put together, the time of possession, everything that the Rams did kept the Lions on the sidelines, really. And so to pull out that win, when you lose the time of possession, you almost lost the turnover battle, but that, I think that was dead even. But yeah, just to get away with one, honestly, and like everyone says, you're never going to apologize for a win, but it's good to win, and you still have stuff that you know you need to improve on.
Yeah.
I want to back up real quick. Right before the kick, Goff threw it to Gibbs on that route he ran where he was wide open to the end zone, which would have been like the game-winning touchdown. And Gibbs slipped.
Thank you for bringing that up.
What was up with all the slipping yesterday, dude? I don't know what was with the turf or what, like on the raw slip. Like, so many players were slipping.
I think going back to just being rusty, I mean, so many people did play, man. He had Brown, Goff, Gibbs, so many. I know McGurney had a great game running, but so many players who just didn't play in that. In that preseason, they get used to it, you know. So they used to being out there in Arrow Park. Right. I just don't think they were used to that, to the turf, you know.
Adrian, to your point, I'm glad you brought that up because that made me think of something. So put yourself back. You're at end of regulation. Stafford throws the ball right sideline. Do you remember who was it? Carlton Davis slipped and had the ball hit right off his chest. He came down, got the wind knocked out of him a little bit. So rewind that. He makes that catch if he doesn't slip. Right? Just say he makes that catch. Now the Lions are 17 seconds away, or 11. I forget which one it was. But they had one or two timeouts at that time. So they could have easily put Jake Bates in position to kick a 60-plus for the win.
Yeah. Because I think just, like, not even gaining yards, that would have been, like, a 61-yarder or something like that, right?
A little bit longer, I think. But
he kicked before on that field.
Oh, yeah. I was ready for him to kick a 71, like Dallas. Dallas set up for a 71-yarder earlier in the day.
But honestly, earlier,
the Dallas kicker did hit a 66 when they took a timeout or whatever it was. So he literally tied the NFL record, and it didn't even count. So he's a beast, and our kicker's a beast. So let's get that record this year. We know he's got it. And if you were to tell me over under Jake Bates, I would take the over. He's going to get it. He's going to get it this year. He's going to kick a plus 66 for the win.
Oh, yeah. I think he'll be in the spot, even if it's not like a game winner, but, you know, end of the half. Or
true.
He'll be
yes.
In some situation where he'll go for it.
Absolutely.
I think Gabe will definitely test that leg out for sure.
That's right, baby.
It's going to be the 3-yarder.
Yeah. Otherwise, we're not talking. Yeah. All right, one last thing I got. Overtime, Matthew Stafford picks heads. You never pick heads. He picked heads. It was tails. So,
Tails never fails.
That goes back to...
I couldn't wait. That is so silent because everyone here with the coin toss was when he said that he picked heads, man. I was like...
Yeah,
because
he
said he pointed to his helmet, and I was like, oh.
Did he? Nice. So we get the ball, And what I had in my notes, literally, guys, is run, 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 no doubt. So, I mean, they came out on a mission. They said, we know our bread and butter. Gibbs, you take a water break, and we're bringing Montgomery back out here, and we're just going to run. And I believe they ran 8 plays or 7 plays, one of those two. And it was run, 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 hitch out to Gibbs, run, 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 touchdown. So, quick thoughts. We're coming up on a half an hour. Quick thoughts on that last drive.
Dude, my quick thought is just Montgomery is going to have a bigger year than last year. The dude is insane, man. Like, this is, we're getting into midnight, but these guys are, you know, they're tired. They played a whole game, and this guy looked fresh. Literally looked like fresh in overtime, and he just took over by himself. It was awesome.
He didn't go 3 and out, man. Like, that was...
Thank you.
You win the coin toss, do not go 3. Don't.
How many times did they do that in the fourth quarter? I believe 3 or 4 times. Yeah. 3 and out, 3 and out. I mean, back to back to. I mean, that's what gave the Rams a chance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's what I think that first down was so big. It's to save that first down, man. Like, and I think that's what the Lions are. Well, this especially that game, where just if you get a first down, they're going on the field. You just got to get that first, get that spark going. Get each drive. I mean.
Moving hey, Clay, one of the last times I was at Ford Field was the infamous 10-second runoff where we celebrated for about a minute and a half, and then they want to come back and steal the game from us from Atlanta. How did it feel in the stadium when they said 10-second runoff and Lions fans actually took a breath and they said, hey, that actually works in our favor?
Well, so that's what I yelled out. I was like, hey, yeah, that's okay. But I think, like, going back to that play was, I thought that was almost a negative thing for us because I thought they're going to take the 10-second runoff and the Rams were going to call a timeout. So I thought it was going to work against us because I was like, man, we lost 10 seconds, but it could have been like 20 plus.
Right.
Yeah.
But then Rams never called the time. So that's one thing I'll put on back to Dan Campbell. Great use of timeouts going into that team that morning.
Yep.
A horrible timeout uses for Sean McVay. Like, I don't know what he was doing, but like, or no, it's going to the fourth quarter. Like, sides are gonna, like, you know, you just have more than 17 seconds. Like, that's what I couldn't believe. Like, Lions are gonna get points, or it's gonna be a touchdown, it doesn't matter. Or it'll be a touchdown or a field goal. Like, Lions are gonna get points, or have a shot at points. You're not giving Matthew? I'm calling Matt. I'm still calling Matthew.
You're not giving Matt. God.
Yeah.
More than 17 seconds, which I'll take it, but I was just like, wow, I was a little surprised when I saw the days using the timeouts. But Dan played it well.
Yeah.
That's our coach. Yeah. So real quick, wanted to say we are going to be doing this hopefully every week after a Lions game. So if the game is on a Thursday, we'll try to shoot it out Friday, just so it's fresh on our minds. If it's on a Sunday, we'll shoot it out Monday. If it's on a Monday... Monday might be difficult because there's Tuesday meeting for some of us, but we'll work it out. We'll maybe shoot it earlier, shoot it on Wednesday. But also, if anyone listening wants to have a question sent in, go ahead and send that question in to CalebAniol@yahoo.com, CalebAniol. And what's that? Just slide in the DMs. That's we'll answer questions on that too if you want. Yeah, you got all three of Clay, did you post this on your story or because I know David did. Yeah. I mean, because your click of people is different than me and Adrian. So we're trying to get not worldwide, but we're trying to get it, you know, multinational at least. We know we're in the United States. West Coast, West Coast, you know. Yeah, we know we'll be in the States, but we're trying to bump out to different countries. So.
Yeah, we'll have different guests on the podcast. Stay tuned.
Yep. Lomas? Oh, I thought you said Little Miss Brown. I'm like, who's Little Miss Brown? Lomas. Yeah, we could call Lomas. I got his number. Clay gave him a big old hug, didn't you, Clay? You know, I did talk to Glover Quinn the other day, too, so I might be able to reach back to him and pull that up. So.
Let's go.
All right, boys, we just hit 30 minutes. So, closing remarks, and we're out.
All right. Hope y'all enjoyed it. Hope y'all Lions fans can stay with us. It's going to be a fun season to remember.
Just picking back up from January, we, you know, we just finished a win against the Rams, and we're going into a game against Tampa, and look where we're at next week, a game against Tampa, so we'll see all this energy, keep it going, and once again, thanks Caleb for getting this group together. It's going to be a fun season, and it's going to be fun.
That's right. All right, boys. Well, it was a pleasure hosting this, and we can't wait for next week as well. Like you said, Tampa, 2-1-0 teams coming to Ford Field again, just like last year. So here we go. Let's say it all together. What's our podcast, boys?
We got
All Grit. The All Grit Podcast. Let's go. Grit. Signing out. Later.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Insulate your home and save on energy costs. Owens Corning Pink Foamular Insulation Panels are moisture resistant and can be used anywhere, including walls, attics, and basements. Foamular Insulation Panels are available in multiple sizes to fit your project. Visit Menards.com to shop all foam board insulation. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for great deals happening this week.